This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're now moving on to our next story. A Malaysian has been sentenced to death in Singapore after being convicted of trafficking drugs. This is despite being diagnosed with an intellectual impairment.
So let's look at the facts of the case, right? Back in 2011, Nagendran Damalingam was convicted of illegally importing 42.72 grams of diamorphine and subsequently was sentenced to death under Singapore's Misuse of Drugs Act. He was at the time 21. And last Tuesday, the Singapore Prison Service sent a letter to his family confirming the date of execution for the 10th of November, which is incredibly soon. That is just next Wednesday. And he is scheduled to become the first prisoner executed by Singapore since 2019. And on that very important point about the intellectual impairment, according to his lawyer and Surendran, Nagendran has been diagnosed with a mental impairment by a certified Singapore-based psychiatrist. Surendran says that he has an IQ of 69. So where we find ourselves now is his legal team is making a final bid to spare him from execution by filing an application in court. His last two appeals were actually rejected in 2019.
So The point about his intellectual impairment is actually a really key one in this conversation, right? Because many people have pointed out how, we have international law against this sort of thing. So the Lawyers for Liberty, for instance, said that Singapore is breaching the prohibition under international law against the execution of persons with any form of mental impairment, also defying the UN General Assembly, which urged UN member states not to execute people with mental or intellectual impairment. So they have also been urging the Malaysian government to really step in to try and save Nagendran from this death sentence by making the necessary presentations to the Singaporean authorities. As of now, however, there hasn't been much of a response. It's still, essentially, we haven't heard any action from Singapore that's going to change what's scheduled to happen. We're going to get into it shortly with Dobby Chu from the Anti-Death Penalty Asia Network. But do send your thoughts our way. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now joined by Dobby Chu, Executive Coordinator of the Anti-Death Penalty Asia Network. Dobby, thank you for being with us.
Hello, good evening. Thank you for having me.
So we went through some of the details, but could you lay out further what we know about Nagendran's situation?
So we know right now that on his side, his lawyers have filed a challenge, so it will be heard next Monday. His lawyer also met him yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. And from what we understand from lawyers' communication with him, he doesn't seem like he's in a state of mind to really understand or fathom what is going to happen with him. He's going on and on about the Green Garden. M. Ravi is his lawyer in Singapore. And I think if you follow him on Facebook, you can kind of see his thoughts on the communication he had with him. So at the moment, I don't think Nagendran is in the state of mind to really understand or grasp what is happening to him. And that is maybe a small fortune in this unfortunate circumstance of turn of event, because at least he is spared to some degree the fear and anxiety of what may happen to him soon. In his family case, they are trying to visit him now. The prison department in Singapore did offer a chance for a final visit. But of course, COVID-19, there's no exemption through a travel restriction. They're still going through the same rigorous quarantine process and whatnot. So they will be traveling there one by one when they can to see him, and they'll be essentially left stuck between quarantine and the prison when they can. So it's a pretty not very good state of affairs, I would say.
So if we look at what's been said in court, right, what reasons were given by the judges for proceeding with this death penalty, despite the fact that Nagendran's been diagnosed by a certified psychiatrist?
So I'm just going to cite a line that came from the judgment during the court. I mean, this came out during High Court, and the Court of Appeal in Singapore agreed with it. I'm just going to read out the line. It's very short. It's clearly understood the nature of his act and did not lose his sense of judgment or the rightness or wrongness of what he was doing. So essentially, from what my reading of the answer the court gave or the judgment gave by the court, they did not dispute the fact that he may have borderline intellectual functioning, ADHD, and severe alcohol abuse symptom. But what they're saying is, he's able to make decision during the time of commission itself. Now, if you can see the judgment, to me, I find it very baffling, because the psychiatric evaluation suggested that Nagendran may not even have the capacity to process long-term thoughts. He is really governed by his instinctive, immediate, instincts of what to do or what his thoughts are. Long-term consequences is not something that he may be able to process. But the judge somehow still found that it was something that he was able to decide on during the time of commission. And the Court of Appeal and the Superior Courts agree with that. So that's how they kind of find a judgment despite the situation or the condition he's in.
That said, Singapore is a signatory of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. What does the convention state about the death penalty for individuals with disabilities?
So the convention actually doesn't state specifically on the death penalty itself. It covers a whole bunch of issues from access to justice, torture, the right, liberty and security of person. So a lot of this section has been interpreted over the years to include protection protection to ensure that you have a right to fair trial and that you will not be subject to the death penalty. There's a lot of jurisprudence finding, not just from the CRPD itself, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, but other UN treaties that say, essentially outlines that if someone does not have the mental capacity to be culpable for a crime, so they are not able to form intention to commit a crime, they should not be sentenced to death, much less be even tried as a person of sound mind, right? So there is a lot of section that mentions it, and we can go into, I think, at least 10 section from what our reading has shown, but it's not really useful when the Singapore government is not acknowledging even the foundational fact that he is not of fit mind to be tried.
So if we look at the international community, can Singapore be taken to task for proceeding with the execution? Can anything be done in that respect?
Well, something will be done. So right now, Singapore is actually under review for CRPD. Submission has been made. I think they would still have a few sessions about it. So this would definitely be raised by not just by us or activists in Singapore, but by different international actors. I think this case has gotten a degree of traction internationally, and everyone's keeping a very close eye on what is happening. But that, at the end of the day, it is a soft control, a soft approach to things, a diplomatic approach. It is something that's a tap on the shoulder that this should not happen. And now that it's happening, personally, I'm afraid or I'm very concerned that by the time there is a response, things may be too late. So we are appealing for a more immediate intervention if there is one.
There have also been calls for the Malaysian government to step in. Has the Malaysian government done anything so far to halt the execution? How exactly can they play a role?
So I can't speak for the government, unfortunately. But from what I understand, some of the ministers are very well aware of the issues right now. We have been in touch with the Minister of Foreign Affairs to let him know about the situation. From what we understand, the ministry is in communication with their counterpart in Singapore to try and find an amenable solution to the current dilemma. So I don't think we are privy to much of the conversation what's going on behind closed doors, but hopefully they can convince their counterpart in Singapore that there is a clear violation of international law and principles if they continue with this execution, and they can dissuade their counterparts, or at least get their counterparts to dissuade their prison services from continuing with the execution. In terms of what Malaysia can do, previously there was some actions from Lawyer for Liberty to compel the government of Malaysia to file a case with the International Court of Justice on the idea that the trial process for a Malaysian on death row in Singapore at that point in time was a violation of his right to fair trial because there are certain things that were not observed in line with international convention. I would say the similar can be tried in this case and even more compelling because they are executing with someone that has been diagnosed with intellectual disability. But that said, it is a legal process. Even if they do try and file one, again, time is the limiting factor, and I don't see how that may be able to halt it for now unless there is a short commutation of sentence.
So I guess, we're talking about a few crucial dates, right? The execution date is on the 10th. There is the upcoming, is it the appeal that is going to be happening next Monday? With all this happening, what else can or could be done to urge Singapore to reconsider the sentence?
Well, I think public pressure or public awareness of the issue is very, very important. I think even in Singapore, if Singaporeans would speak up for it, that would of course be more impactful, but situation there may not be as viable as we are here. But I think in general, if people are willing to talk about it more, raise it to your members of parliament, raise it to authorities, even send a simple email to any of the public official address that you can find on like Singapore government or even your MP, just let them know you are concerned with this, ask if they have done anything about it, can they do anything else about it. Just talk about the issue, because I think this is not an issue that's of controversy. Everyone kind of agrees that you should not put someone who is not mentally fit on trial, and likewise, you should not execute someone who is not mentally fit to stand trial. And I think that that kind of consensus is very important to remind Singapore government, either on social media or on public discussion, anywhere and everywhere we can, to let them know that this is not right. They should move away from this, or at least they should distance themselves from this and put a halt to it.
Dobby, what would you like to leave us with?
As an activist working on death penalty, we've gone through several imminent executions with Singapore. It's always been very, very pessimistic. And in the past, even though the cases are problematic in many ways, you could still go with a justification with Singapore that it serves a deterrence factor, that it's important for their national security or their criminal justice system. But this person, again, Trent, he suffers from intellectual disability. It's a question mark if he will understand what he has done or even understand the long-term implication of what he's done. What's the point of executing him? There's no deterrence in this. It serves no justice. It's not like he harmed anyone. It was drug trafficking. And God knows, if you look at the judgment and his testimony in court, does he even understand what is trafficking? And even the lawyers expressed concern that he doesn't understand what is happening to him. So all things considered, it's a bit sad that we are still discussing whether there's a way to halt the execution when it should have been a given that this should not have even been up for discussion in the first place. But now that we are here, odds of us succeeding is not very high, but we still have to try our best. And I think as Malaysian, now that we know that this case is happening, we should do our best to stop it. There is a family in Ipoh, his family, that will be going through a very, very depressing and very sad Deepawali this year. And if this execution do take place, what else will be of their Deepawali moving forward? Because every time it comes near, they will remember nothing but the execution of their son. So I think it's a small gesture of goodwill to a fellow Malaysian and also someone that needs help, that whatever you can do to make sure this inevitable, or hopefully not inevitable, but this oncoming imminent execution is halted and deflected, if we can, if that's what we can do, then I think that's going to mean a lot to not just the world, but also to the family. Yeah?
Dobby, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me on air.
That was Dobby Chu, Executive Coordinator of the Anti-Death Penalty Asia Network, speaking to us about the sentencing of Nagendran Dharmalingam in Singapore. He's been sentenced to death, convicted of illegally importing drugs. However, the fact that he also is a person with an intellectual impairment has basically intensified calls to overturn that sentence. Do share your thoughts with us. What do you make of this? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, a change of pace on popcorn culture. We'll be throwing back to The Italian Job, the 1969 version. So keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.